Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today we're getting you all ready for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I think that's the title. Is there...
Volume 3.
Yeah, okay.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah, it just, you know, it worked for the second one. Why not? So we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 1, 2, and a little bit about the holiday special, only because there's something in the newest trailer that I saw that made me think of the holiday special. I don't know that anything in the holiday special is going to have any effect on this movie, but
yeah,
other than seeing Groot bigger.
Right. I think that carries over. Now, if Kevin Bacon shows up in Volume 3, that would be something.
That'd be wild. It would be wild. But yeah, so I guess we can go ahead and get that out of the way first, because that's kind of like... maybe the freshest on everyone's minds. And again, I just don't really see anything super standout about it that would carry over. From what I can tell from the trailers of the new movie, we're getting a more serious Guardians of the Galaxy storyline, maybe even seeing the breaking up of the Guardians of the Galaxy in this next movie. Whether they stay broken up or come back together, I don't know. But that's kind of the vibe you get from the trailers, that like everything's not peachy keen on the Milano. So,
yeah.
I think the Guardian special, as fun as it was, I mean, other than Moody Peter, everything else seemed a little lighthearted going into this now dark, depressing movie. Mm-hmm. Which it may not be dark and depressing. I don't know. All I know is I played the Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale game where you get to play through Rocket's backstory. And It's the saddest thing I have ever done in a video game, is learn his backstory and basically be helpless to save these other animals in this situation. And in the trailer, we see the otter. I don't remember her name, but we see the otter at one point, and that's like a big part of the Telltale game. So I feel like it's going to be pretty heavy.
I'm trying to figure out. Is it Lila?
I think so. That sounds right.
L-Y-L-A, Lila, if that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. So
it seems like, from the trailer, from what I remember, is like, it seems like, you know, Rocket and this otter are friends. I don't know if they're romantically involved in any way, but clearly they have a connection. I've not played the Telltale game, so I have the gist of Rocket's story, mostly just looking up into the terms of like who the villain's going to be and understanding like what their MO is and why they're doing what they're doing. And so I have a general idea there. But yeah, it's just like there's so many moments in the trailer that just seem like this is going to be pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be heavy. How much leads up to it, because I don't know, like I'm curious if you're right, if the Guardians are going to actually split up, or if it's just gonna be, I don't know, some kind of missing puzzle piece internally that just has them all kind of disconnected. Because especially if you look at the holiday special, right, like seeing that like these two characters are saying like they're somewhat related, like Peter, you'd think that would bring them all close together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even like Drax and Mantis always seem like super close.
But it's hard too, like knowing a little bit of the outside, like we're at that point now in the Marvel universe where all of the characters who started the Marvel universe are either aging out or pulling out of like not re-signing contracts and stuff.
Yeah.
So they're having to introduce this new younger like crew. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we already know that with the Guardians, right? Like, Batista wants to not do it anymore. Hmm. I'm pretty sure Chris Pratt wants to not do it anymore. I can't speak for anyone else. Those are just the two that I had seen some articles about, you know, trying to not do Guardian stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, those are, I mean, you just gave us the holiday special where it's basically just Drax and Mantis. I mean, that's like the whole pull of that. So if you're telling me that like you're building up these two characters of this relationship and then one of them doesn't want to do the movies anymore, well, there goes that. And then Peter is Star-Lord. Like, if Chris Pratt backs out, then there's no Star-Lord for the Guardians of the Galaxy. So I feel we're going towards some sort of...
This brings up the ever popular question, which I don't even see what the point is in asking it, is like, who's going to die in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3? Because everyone's going, like, based off the trailer and how sad it is, everyone's expecting like we're going to see someone or multiple people die. But you got to remember the multiverse. Like, the MCU has basically made all of that moot at this point. Like, could someone die? Yes. Is it going to be sad? Yeah, it's going to be sad. Are they going to come back? 99% sure they're going to come back.
I mean, it's already happening in this movie.
Yeah.
Gamora is technically not the this universe's Gamora. So we've already had that happen. So,
they've already announced that we're leading up to Secret Wars. Like, we're expecting, like, you know, it may be the end of the road for a lot of these actors, but they're probably going to be back to shoot for that movie in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even as just like cameos down the line.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think once we hit Secret Wars, we're getting into even more dangerous territory, because now not only do we have the multiverse, but now we also have Skrulls that can just take on anyone's appearance and powers.
Yeah.
So if somebody dies, that literally means nothing anymore. Other than like, well, okay, they just don't want to do movies anymore, so we'll give them a cameo every like fourth movie. They'll pop up somewhere. I don't know that I'm worried too much about like who's gonna die, if anyone's gonna die, but it's hard going into this movie thinking that there's ever going to be another Guardians movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're just building this up like this is going to be it for the Guardians of the Galaxy in some way, whether it's like happy ending, sad ending, happy for some, sad for other. Like, I don't know, but it definitely seems like they'll use this to maybe introduce Nova.
Mm-hmm.
And like that will be our new Star-Lord. Or maybe we're going to get more of, what's Thanos's son or brother?
Yeah. I don't know if he'll, I'm not either. Yeah.
Or I think, we're getting more of the Ravagers. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting Stallone again and that crew. So.
Yeah, you know, I forgot, rewatching Volume 2 today, I just forgot like the amount of cameos, because there was one in particular. It wasn't Stallone. It was, I can't remember his name, but I was just like, I completely forgot he was in this.
Yeah.
And that was always a treat.
So, I think we'll definitely get introduced to some new characters that will take over this like outer space mantle. For Marvel, but I think that the Guardians may be flying off into the sunset,
which is a shame. It's like, so Guardians for me, I didn't know anything about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I remember when Volume 1 was announced, and it was always intriguing that, like, when Chris Pratt was announced, like, going a comedian into, you know, same approach with like Heath Ledger as going into like the Joker, or even Paul Rudd coming in as Ant-Man. I was just a very, because Chris Pratt at the time, I think, you know, other than like Parks and Rec, he was just kind of like the side character in very small roles, like never had this leading role. So I never really looked into Guardians that much. So I almost went into it as a blind watch. I was just very curious to see, like, what is this going to be and where is this going to go? And I just instantly fell in love with it. Like the first movie. And it's crazy, like rewatching them recently, like the first movie was pretty dark in terms of like the set design and everything. Like the whole intro was just kind of like, I don't know, like the whole color scheme was just almost like, you know, you're looking at Batman Dark Knight, like very dark, like toned down. When you go into the second movie, it's just like boom, 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 colors everywhere. It's very bright. And it seems like this new movie is going to be like that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Guardians, you know, we can kind of thank Guardians for the more colorful, fun approach that Marvel movies have now. Because prior to that, they were a little bit more, they were like leaning a little bit more on the, like, let's try to make this as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
We're like, obviously none of it's realistic, right? Nobody has superpowers or Iron Man suits or whatever, but like they at least tried to ground things more in reality. As soon as Guardians came out, it was like out the window. They were like, let's make them bigger, brighter, funnier, louder. And does it always work? No. Does it work most of the time? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, even things like, you know, we've talked about She-Hulk, right?
Yeah.
She-Hulk is a bright, comedy-driven, nonsense series. And I loved it. I think, was it the like number one thing that they've done? No, but I think it was a lot of fun. And I think it was a lot of fun because of the first Guardians movie. Mm-hmm. I think that really opened the door for Marvel to be like, oh, people like us because we're funny. That's why they like us. We're not just all serious.
Yeah.
So
going into some of the comedy, so rewatching one and two, I really watched them trying to focus more just around Rocket and his story. And it's kind of weird, like knowing what he's been through. Like I already pretty much know like what he's been through, and they kind of hint it in volume one, right? He basically says like, you know, he kind of says what happens to him, but you look at all the jokes he makes, what is he always wanting to do? Essentially what was done to him, right?
Yep. Yeah. Steal people's arms, legs, eyes.
It's just like, man, this guy's like just tormented by it. You know, it's like the only way he can cope with it is just to like make fun of it. Mm-hmm. And there's like another moment where, you know, it's just kind of where Rocket's being approached and like they kind of know, they're like, man, you're kind of messed up. Like it's okay, I messed up too, but like I can see you, I know what's going on.
I think that's like the fun part about the Guardians, right? Is they're not a good team, and I think that's what makes them a good team.
Like, yeah,
like one of them only wants to destroy Thanos. That's all he wants to do. That's what he's driven by. That's it. One of them doesn't speak a language, and yet somehow they all learn to understand him. And he's pretty chill. You know, he doesn't like do a whole lot, but then he can also be like their, you know, their strength when they need him. Then there's Rocket, who's just like a wild card, trying to steal stuff and blow stuff up all the time. Gamora, like the assassin, and then Star-Lord, the like space pirate turned. I mean, eventually in the comics, he works for Nova Corps. Like, so he's a good guy, but, you know, even the first movie, like, literally starts with him just trying to steal this thing so that he can sell it to the collector. So it's a very strange team. And I think their dynamic is a lot of fun, and it's very interesting, but it also leads to like so many darker storylines. Like dealing with each of their different stories, but somehow it's never like one person's story. It's always like two of their stories are somehow intertwined, and so they're both dealing with trauma or drama or loss or whatever, and just seeing them all together. So it's interesting that the movies were so funny.
Yeah.
When they could have been so much darker.
Oh, yeah. Like, did we, which I know I just like rewatched these, but I guess I focused so much on like one particular character. Like, where did Rocket and Groot connect? Like, how did they become a pair?
So we never learned that in the movies.
I didn't think we did. Yeah.
Mm-mm. And I'm pretty sure, I'm sure in a comic they explain it, but the one that I can think of off the top of my head, I believe, is Groot came from like a planet where there were a bunch of his kind. I don't remember what they're called, like Ithacus Gigantus or something like that. And they basically get like wiped out, and somebody stole a bunch of seeds or something from the planet, and all the seeds got destroyed except for one, and that was Groot. And Rocket stole that from the guy that had him or something. And I believe that's the storyline in the one series that I have that is like, it's like a page where it's just like, well, this is how they got together. And then it's like stories of Rocket and Groot.
Yeah. So looking into it, it's basically that, like, Groot was a sole survivor of his race. The Collector ended up getting him, and Rocket saved him like when he was on a job, and they got connected. I mean, it's like you can almost think of them like Han Solo and Chewbacca in a way, right? They're just 100%. Kind of that pair that stick together.
If I can find it, I'll post a picture. I actually have that poster.
Oh yeah,
it's like a artwork of Rocket and Groot as Han and Chewie.
Nice. Like, don't sleep on Groot. Like, you know, that's another one. Like, I did pay a little bit of attention on Groot, especially in the episode in volume two. Groot is like almost this unstoppable force. Even as baby Groot, like, baby Groot was like so much fun to watch because everyone wanted to treat him like a baby. But do you not realize how strong he is? Like, he was still like wiping everyone out. But when it comes to like communicating and asking him to do things, like, no, it wasn't going to happen. Like,
right.
He had no clue what they were talking about.
It's interesting that we're getting like this bulky short Groot now.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, I wish that they had sped up his growth process. But another part of me is like, well, that makes sense. We saw him as a plant. We saw him as a baby. Then the next movie, we see him as like a teenager. Then the next movie, we see him as what he is now, this weird, like, bulky Groot with a tiny head. I'm really hoping that we get like cool comic accurate Groot where he has like all the crazy twigs and stuff like sticking up, like his hair. And
yeah.
And he's just like a, you know, more monstrous than he is. I mean, if you think about Groot in the first movie, he's pretty docile. Even when he's like, you know, when he like skewers all those guys, whenever it goes back to showing him, it's like, yeah, but he doesn't look that intimidating.
Right.
Whereas like, I get that that's like kind of his, the thing that they're going for in the movies, but in the comics, like, he's kind of intimidating looking. Like, he's he's not just like a foot taller than Star-Lord. He's like 4 feet taller than Star-Lord. Like, he's huge. He's a giant tree man. So I'm hoping that we get a little more of that. Or if there's like some spinoff where, you know, maybe Star-Lord's out, but we get more Rocket and Groot side stories.
Yeah. Or, I feel like they got like, it's just voice actors there, right? Like, they could stick around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if they leave, then you just get someone that sounds kind of like them.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Yeah. I would love to see more. Like, that's one, another thing I'm hoping we get is like, I think volume two probably had the most extra credit scenes of any Marvel movie. There's like 4 or 5. It's ridiculous. I hope we get that with volume three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, really, there should just be like a never ending extra credit through the credits. Just give us like, just basically give us Holiday Special Part 2, like as they're rolling the credits.
We just get like a couple original songs and then maybe like a little side story that plays along next to the credits. Yeah, I'm into it. So, you know, Volume 1, we get a lot of backstory and and learning who these characters are and how they get together and what their individual goals are. I feel like 2, we get to see them actually be a team and start to build this dynamic. Then the next time we see them isn't until Endgame. And when we see them in Endgame, it's like they're a family. There doesn't seem to be any of this, like, it's not real dissension. I feel like in 2, there's a little, there's this weird thing between Peter and Rocket where, like, I know that always seems to be the story that plays out, like, in the Telltale games, in even the most recent Marvel game where you can play as all the Guardians. And then in the newer comic series, like the new Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever, there's this whole like weird thing between Peter and Rocket that like you can't really tell if they actually don't like each other or if it's more like, you know, older, younger brother don't like each other.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I feel like they tried to give us a little bit of that in Volume 2, but everyone else was meshing so well that it like, you were kind of like, what is this story? Like, stop pushing this narrative. Like,
there's a whole like, there's like the whole like duct tape moment, right? Like they're trying to like tape the bomb and then, you know, we just get that Rocket overhearing Peter as he's flying around asking, like, it's just, I don't know. There's like some weird moments there.
And like, who's the captain? Who's not the captain?
Yeah.
Whose ship is it? Who's in charge of the team? Even when they land and you like, that's where we kind of learn a little more of Rocket's backstory is like when they're in the woods. Right. And that whole scene seems like here they go, like trying to explain why Rocket is the way that he is. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but isn't the whole point of this that like they're becoming this family? So then when we see them in Endgame and they are more of this family, and when we see them in the Holiday Special and they're more of this like, ah, they're doing things to like make Peter feel better because they all want to like, you know, they love each other.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch the trailers and be like, what in how long is the movie? Like 2 hours and
it's like 2.5 hours for volume 3.
What is going to happen and when is it going to happen in that 2.5 hours that makes it go from like happy-go-lucky fun space team to like dark, depressing, super sad storyline potentially last time we see them.
Yeah.
So it's a little nerve-wracking because I don't want it to be rushed.
Right. From initial reviews and reactions, I haven't seen anything about it being rushed, which is good. And like James Gunn's been so invested in these, I feel like he'll do it right. You know what I really want to know is where is Adam Warlock going to come into play?
Right.
Because you look at like volume 2 and the reveal like that, you know, because it feels like that the people that created him aren't really a part of volume 3. It seems like he's created by this new person.
Right.
So I'm
almost thinking like maybe they, you know, they were like, okay, we're going to introduce Adam Warlock. And then maybe some people's contracts changed and they decided to do things a little differently. And they were like, maybe we're not ready for that yet. And now they're like, okay, now we're ready for it, but we can't use that because it's been 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not 20 years. I think it's been 8 or 9 years in like the movie time since that happened. So maybe they're like, we just got to come up with a new backstory. That wasn't Adam Warlock. Don't worry about that.
Yeah. So like the Sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, are they going to be any part of this? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, especially because like we kind of leave the Sovereign on.
Yeah.
This like they got their butts kicked, and end of that storyline. Mm-hmm. Until we see the end credit scene where they're like, "Oh, here's this guy in a golden sarcophagus," and everyone at home is like, "I'm Warlock."
Yeah.
But maybe it's not. I mean, you know, that's the world that they have set up, that they can easily just be like, "Nah, that wasn't him. That was, don't worry about that." And then in 5 years, when they come out with, like, you know, the new X-Men movie, they'll be like, "Oh, that was actually, you know, mm-hmm. X-Man." Yeah. It's weird because every time I watch or see a new trailer come out for this movie, I think, is it even worth trying to figure out what's going to happen in this movie? Because every time I try to figure out what's going to happen in a movie, it goes in like a completely different way than I ever even imagined. So it's like, there's no point.
I'm not even going to try, because I just know. I know it's going to be an emotional watch, and I just kind of want to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. Without kind of guessing too much. If I were to guess, I'm guessing they'll be on some job that's going to bring up High Evolutionary, and that's when Rocket's going to be like, "Look, we got to take this person out. Like, you know, it's the person that created me. Like, they're not good. Like, if we don't take them out, it's going to get worse."
Right.
And that's probably how they're going to go down that trail. And who knows what will happen.
Do you think we're going to get any Thor and his daughter?
You know, that was another thing I wanted to ask earlier on when we were talking, is what kind of cameos could we get? Like, Thor and the Guardians, that's like peanut butter and jelly, right? Like, yeah, it just goes together. Yeah. Like,
especially now that they've made Thor this like space Viking. He's no longer like Thor, God of Thunder. Now he's Thor, God of Space Thunder.
He's Thor, I wish I could be Star-Lord.
Exactly. Yeah.
Basically. I'm hopeful. I think that would be really fun. It makes sense. I think most would go in expecting that's going to happen, whether it be actually in like the intro or it could be an extra credit scene. I mean, this is one of those, like, depending on where they put in Thor, like, because usually with Thor and Guardians, it's a very comedic and it makes you laugh and happy. Mm-hmm. You throw Thor in when something sad happens. Ooh, like that.
Yeah. Could be. Yeah. A little rough.
Thor is like family with them. Like, if Thor was there when something bad happens, like, you know, it's game
he would
over.
Be he would have to be like part of the movie. Yeah, like, he couldn't just like fly he'd have and to something be a sad happens and then he's like, "Sorry, I gotta go."
yeah this is one of those, like, you know, and this brings up if you look at typical Marvel movies, they usually connect whatever's coming up next. So we know, like, we got the Marvels. So are we going to see any of the Marvels make an appearance?
Well, that's what I was thinking as soon as you said that. I was like, well, as much as I would want other cameos, I feel like it makes the most sense for us to either get a Captain Marvel cameo or a whatever the new... the ship is that, I can't think of his name. Claw marks on his eye.
Come on, Fury.
Eye patch. Yeah. Nick Fury. Gosh, I kept thinking, it doesn't matter. I just couldn't, lost all train of thought. I could see us getting like a Fury.
Maybe, but Indiana. Like, the thing is, Fury was never really connected with the Guardians in any way.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know. That doesn't make sense to me.
It would definitely be like shoehorned, but just knowing that, like, the two big things next are the Marvels and Secret Wars. And it's like, well, both of those kind of start in space or have something to do with space. So maybe we get like a Skrull cameo. From some Skrulls
could be a part of it,
because we see that, like, town. So this is the part that made me think of the holiday special. Mm-hmm. We see a couple shots in the newest trailer of like all the Guardians running out of these houses in this neighborhood, and every time I see it, I think, is this that same neighborhood from the holiday special? That's what it looks like. Every time he runs out of the house, I look at it. I'm like, this neighborhood looks exactly like the neighborhood they're running through at night.
Yeah,
this is the daytime now. So, but there's aliens everywhere. So it's like, what is going on here?
What even universe are they
in? Yeah.
You know, I guess, have you looked into or any thoughts around like the curse word not being bleeped out?
No, I don't. What is this?
Oh, yeah. So like there was like a little short. I saw this online. I think someone showed it, but it's basically like a scene from the movie. And it's when they're in that town. And I think pretty sure like Peter's going to drop the F-bomb in a scene and it's like not going to be censored or anything. It's like,
so I'm all for it. I think there's a rule with PG-13. I believe you're allowed the F word one time, one time and one time only in the whole movie. You can get away with it. I think if it's used correctly.
Oh, this looks like it's used correctly.
It's so good.
It's one of these.
Use it just to use it. It's like,
no, it's like, I kind of already, it's kind of sucks because I already know what the scene is. So like, I know when it's going to like, you know, granted what I saw, it was like not complete. So like, but they said like, you know, this is what's going to, this will be in the movie and it's going to be uncensored. So it's like, all right.
It's also just interesting seeing how things have changed over the years. Like I've recently been watching some older movies, a lot of like early mid 80s movies, and then some late 80s as well. And you get blown away at the things that happened in PG rated movies. Indiana Jones, PG. A guy literally melts into a skeleton. Like, well, I don't know that that's PG. One of my favorite is, my favorite movie, The Goonies. Like opening sequence when Chunk leans up against the wall and sprays his milkshake all over himself. He throws it down and I'll have to bleep this. He says, shit. And you're like, whoa, isn't this a kid's movie? Same in Ninja Turtles. I think like the first Ninja Turtles. They say a couple curse words in that movie, and you're just like, "What, man? They just do whatever they want." Like,
man, Ninja Turtles was dark. That's one of my favorites. So, yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
The older I got, the more I learned about the rule, and I was like, "Okay, like I think if it's used in the right way, then yeah, I think it's great."
Yeah, it's like a lot of series that these days they're usually granted like so many. Words like that within a season, right? It's not like per episode. It's like
exactly, yeah.
You're doing 10 episodes, you got 3 words, like
Words. And then sometimes it's like they save them all for one episode. It seems like you get one episode, and it's like what happened to this episode?
It's not like Succession where it's like every other word,
right? Yeah. Well, no, I had not heard about that. I'm very excited now. I'm torn between, do I want to just try to find it and see it or wait. I'll have to decide. But I'm super excited. If you're listening to this, it comes out today, I guess, technically. But if you're listening to this later, then it already came out. Sorry. But hopefully you saw it. If you did see it, don't tell anyone anything for at least like a week. Give us that. And, you know, don't post things online.
Don't be like the people with Super Mario. Don't post the whole movie on Twitter.
Yeah. I did hear about that. I actually know someone who started watching it and watched the whole thing on Twitter and then went back to try to watch it again later. And it was taken down. And they was like, and then they took it down. And I was like, well, yeah, of course they did.
After it got 9 million views. I've been, you know, like a lot of people got to see Guardians last week. Disney, come on, get with Arkansas.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the closest is for us. It's either going to be like, I don't know if Dallas or Nashville has screenings, because I know one content creator in Little Rock got to go see it, but I don't know where he went.
I think Dallas and Houston.
in Houston.
I was surprised that Austin didn't get a lot of those things. We didn't even get there's a new movie coming out on Hulu called Clockwork that was filmed here in town. Uh-huh. You have really keen eyes and you know what I look like. You can see me in one of the background scenes.
Really?
That's the movie that I worked on with Jay.
Okay.
From Daredevil.
Nice.
But
now I got to go watch it.
I was very surprised that that movie was not premiered here at all.
Yeah.
And that was like, but wait, it was like, I think there's like a good amount of local actors in it. And then it was filmed here. Why wouldn't they do a premiere here? I don't know. I just thought that was weird. So I guess we don't get things in Austin. But.
We'll get that resolved soon, hopefully. But I've seen a lot, just about everyone that I follow that's gotten to watch Guardians has put out a review. I've not watched any of them, but I've been fortunate enough to like not get or see any spoilers. I'm trying to like monitor my social just to make sure I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. So nothing's really been spoiled for me. So that's been good.
Yeah, I'm trying not to click on anything unless it says trailer. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. And it's usually like if I go to the movies, it's usually the very first trailer that they showed is the one that I've been seeing. So none of the new ones.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. You can expect our review on it soon. But we will obviously, you know, spoiler warning before that. So also, I guess, sorry if you haven't seen Guardians 1 or 2 or the holiday special and you listened to this and made it this far. I think that's on you, though, at this point.
I feel like we didn't really spoil too much from those, but such fun watches. Like, I like all of them. I love the Guardians. It's going to be sad to see them end.
Definitely. I am hoping, because we recently just watched Big Hero 6 again, and I forgot how much I liked that, and I forgot that that's a Marvel property.
Yeah.
And one of my thoughts was, what if they phase out Guardians and give us live-action Big Hero?
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fun.
I think it'd be a good trade. I know that the dynamic is a little different, but,
yeah,
you know, we're getting a fun, more space-agey team.
Yeah. You know, I guess the other thing to wonder as well is who's gonna go over to DC World with Gunn?
Probably not many. Or they'll go for one movie and
so much talk of like Pratt potentially getting brought on for roles. So
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, I guess. I feel like if you go the other way, you know, most of them come from DC to Marvel.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it so much the other way around.
Right.
I have a feeling that it probably.
Hey, I'm still game if Bautista ever wanted to portray like Bane like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty awesome.
I think it'd be cool. It would just suck because it would be like he's in one movie with one new Batman and then they never do that again. And they
go
some other direction. You're like, ugh, whatever. But anyway, so the question for this week, I was trying to think of one earlier, and I guess the way that I'll go is, because my question wasn't as good as this, but what cameo do you want to see in this movie? Since our options are pretty open, Guardians have kind of interacted with everyone at this point, so we could get an off the wall cameo, or we could get a predictable cameo.
I wouldn't mind seeing Strange show up. I think that would be really fun.
I think that's a good one. I am still very hopeful that we get literally any of the X-Men. I don't care at this point who, but if we don't get an actual, not a mutant cameo, but an actual X-Men cameo in anything before Deadpool 3. What is going on? That's my answer. Limited time here, Marvel.
Yeah,
let's go. So join us next time as we hopefully break down Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in all its glory or sadness, you know, depending. Who knows? Maybe the trailers are all fake and there's actually no sad in the movie. It's just funny the whole time. Possible. It'd be possible. Wild. But yeah, so thank you guys for listening and we'll see you all next week.